Okay, welcome back to the Family
Discipleship. Recording in progress.
Welcome back to the Family Discipleship Seminar. We're winding down. We have a couple more sessions after this, but now we're going to talk about the husband again. If you've noticed, we've been alternating responsibility of the husband and the wife, the husband and wife, to help give you each a break and not do all of one and then all of the other. But there are responsibilities, and they do fit like a glove, hand in a glove. And it's great when both roles are working together. It doesn't mean that if one person is not doing their role, that the other one gets to stop. I am still to do what God has called me to do, whether my wife does her part or not. And yes, it will be more difficult, but that's what unconditional love means. It's not conditional. It doesn't mean I will love you the way I should if you will love me the way you should. No, it doesn't mean that. It means I do this out of love and reverence for Christ, and because when I stand before God, He will ask me, what did I do? He's not going to ask me what my wife did, or He won't ask my wife what I did. So we know that we are individually accountable to God for the life that He has given us. So we're going to talk about the priority of family. And all of these sessions really have been indicating that we obviously, the marriage makes marriage a priority, but also the whole family. Back in Ephesians 5, the part about the two will become one, the husband will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they become a new unit, a new family unit. They're no longer under the authority of their parents, either one. So the parents are welcome to give counsel, but they are not to interfere and dominate or divide that marriage relationship. This is a new family unit. And fortunately, we both had in-laws who respected our family, as we try now to respect my children, who are both married, and their family. And if they ask for advice, that's when I feel free to give it. But unsolicited advice from in-laws or parents when you have a family can be a negative thing. In fact, before I got married, I had boiled my list down of what I wanted in a wife from 50 things. No, I didn't have 50 things. But all of us, when you were single, did you have a list of things you wanted in a husband or a wife? Of course, the longer I was single, I decided, okay, I'm going to boil this down to just three things. I'd like a wife who, one, has a heart for God, not just a good girl, not even just a church girl. There are lots of church girls, or even someone who professes to be a Christian girl, but I wanted a woman with a heart for God. And what I meant by that was she didn't just play church. She had her own walk with the Lord, her quiet time, and the second thing I wanted was obviously a heart for me. And that would be, you know, I knew several godly young women with a heart for God, but they didn't necessarily have a heart for me. Or maybe I didn't have a heart for them. But the third thing I put on that short list was a heart for the home and family. Because I was beginning to see a lot of good, godly young women who first wanted to pursue their career, and then they would seek to establish a home. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what they want to do. But I wanted someone who wanted to give first priority to the home. And Kathy met all three of those. And much more. Actually, God, as He usually does, He gave me exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. Now, the home was established as a husband and wife. It doesn't take children to make the home, but pretty soon, since we were both over 30 at the time, we wanted to start having children soon. So a year later, we had our daughter was born, and she was a welcome addition to the family. Children are not to be made the center of the family. Jesus Christ is still the center, and the husband and wife relationship comes next, and then the children. I see a lot of people making a mistake of making the children the center of the family, the focus of the family. And so if they do that for 20 or 25 years, yes, the husband and wife, naturally they will look at each other and think, well, I don't really know you that well. Because they didn't keep the marriage first place in order. Priority means what is important. So in the area of overall priorities of life, my relationship with God through Jesus has to be and always number one. Always. Nothing can ever or should ever take the place of that. To do otherwise, obviously, would be idolatry. But immediately, second on that list would be the priority of my relationship with Kathy, my wife. And third would be my children. And next would be my vocation, because that's how I provide for my family. And remember that if I don't provide for my family, I'm worse than an infidel. So I had to readjust my priorities when they were single, where ministry was very high on my, because I didn't have the wife or the children. I had a vocation, I had God, so ministry was higher. So I had to readjust and put, ministry took a lower priority. It should. That's not wrong, it's just different. But it's not like some make it too high a priority and some eliminate it altogether, saying, well, now I don't have time for ministry. Well, that's not a legitimate direction either. I did want to maintain at least one discipleship relationship at all times. One relationship where I had a Paul in my life, someone who was helping me, and at least one relationship where I had a Timothy, that is, I was helping someone else. And I wanted to be in a church as a family and not do 5 or 10 things, but to do, I'll do one thing. Don't ask me to do 5 or 10 things. You know, I know that 20% of the people do 80% of the work, but I don't want to do all of the work to where it is a detriment to my higher priorities, meaning my children, my wife, and God. So, you know, we can get so busy like Martha. Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about these many things, but only one thing is needed. He said, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So again, It's sad that we can get so busy for the work of the kingdom that we neglect the King Himself. That's always a danger in ministry, I've seen, or any Christian life. So that must be maintained. I don't want to become like Revelation 2 talks about the church that says, you have forsaken your first love. So, if I need to pull back on something, if I've overloaded my time, priority can be measured by where I spend my time and my money. Okay, so a disciple has to be a good manager of his time and money. But if I feel like I'm overloaded, let's say my job, instead of now requiring 40 hours, requires 45 hours or 50, I need to subtract hours from somewhere else. I don't want to take it from God's time. I don't want to take it from my wife's time or my children's time. That means I take it from what other spare time, say hobbies or leisure, or sometimes I had to maybe give up a little sleep here and there, because coming home from work, again, we made it a priority in the home. We thought one way to do that was to say we're going to have dinner together as a family every evening. So it gave me an incentive to say, at work, I'm going to stop work, even though this project's not done. I can finish it tomorrow. I could work late, but I don't have to. I could work late simply to impress the boss, but I don't have to. In fact, usually the boss is already gone. There's no one there to impress except each other. So, but yes, of course, there were times when I felt the need to work a little bit later. But most of the time, as a general rule and practice, I would try to, I would wrap up at a particular time. It was about a 30 to 40 minute drive home that gave me time to collect my thoughts, to transition my mind from thinking about work things to thinking about home things. I didn't want to carry my work home physically, you know, although again, sometimes yes, I had to bring something home thinking unrealistically I'm going to do this, but often I never did, but sometimes I had to. But again, it's a choice I make. When I make the family a priority, I have to make the choice to say, I'm stopping, I'm leaving this here, I'm going home and giving the rest of the evening to my family. And when I walk in the door, I want my mind to be more on my family. If I have burdens on my back, I want to leave them at work or in the car or on the way home. I could throw them out the window or whatever. Whatever picture you do or you use to help you be in the right frame of mind. I made it a habit of calling Kathy at least once during the day in case there was something I needed to know when I walk in the door, if things were, why everyone wasn't running in happy, you know, because maybe the child had just been disciplined, or I can expect dinner to be late because of this, or this broke, so just know you'll have to fix the computer when you get home, or the faucets dripping. You know, we all have all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But that's part of making her a priority. Kathy likes things working well. So we call those to-do lists. And so I try to keep the list short and not take too long to do them. I sometimes forget, but it's something I've worked on to know that it's a way I can minister to her and make the home a priority. When, if the computer's not working or if the water is not working, that disrupts her day. See, my day is spent at the office. Her day is in the home that she, again, gave up her career. So that's it's important that her office is functioning. If my telephone or computer at work doesn't work, all I do is pick up the phone, call somebody, and they show up and they fix it. Or if the lights go out, I call somebody. Well, the lights don't go out because I worked for the electric company. Our lights never don't go out. Okay, take that one out. If something goes wrong, well, they could go out because of an internal problem. But So I'm thinking on the way home, okay, I need to deal with Andrew, was disobedient, he's got something I need to talk to him about. So, of course, when the kids are young, they rush in and say hi to daddy, then they run away. At some point in the children's ages, they stopped coming to the door. That kind of hurt. But the dog would run to the door. Well, at least the dog still likes me. So we heard about another concept, Kathy and I, about something called couch time. That I would come in, I would say hi to the kids, but I would let them know before I play with them, I'm going to sit on the couch with mom for about 10 minutes, find out how her day has gone, what I need to be doing the rest of the evening after dinner, and just again, spending that companionship, reconnecting with her. And that did two things. One, it showed that rather than running in and just playing with the kids first, and she's in the kitchen working, I'm making her a priority. I want to spend 5 or 10 minutes with you. And it teaches the kids, she's still the more important to me than you are. You're very important. I love my children, but she is still the most important. Okay, and I want them to always know that. So when it comes to matters of discipline, what mom says overrules what the child says. I'm on her side. I don't take sides with the children, because they will learn to do that.
Recording stopped. Recording in progress.
So guarding the family time on a daily basis, that's one way to do it. On a weekly basis, again, taking Kathy out on a date, even if it was what we call a cheap date, just for an hour. We would hire a babysitter. Then I know a lot of people today in America don't spend money for babysitters. They either ask their parents if they live nearby to babysit, and that can be good for a while, but it can be abused, that privilege. So there needs to be a communication there that we're not abusing our parents or our in-laws. But we guard it on a daily basis. We guard the family and make it a priority on a daily basis. Typically after dinner, we would help clean up as a family. And then if there were homework that needed to be done during the school age years, I would help them in any areas of math or science that they needed help on. So that may take a little while. And then we would have, we made the family a priority by, we had devotions every night. No matter whether we were in our home or visiting someone else's home or on vacation, we made a priority to have some evenings it was longer than others, but we always had a time to come together, reflect, look in this, read something from the scriptures, or have a Bible discussion, and then I would pray. And because they've been with their mom all day, they've probably heard her pray at lunch and at breakfast. And, so we felt like it was good for them to hear Dad pray on a regular basis. So, and I wanted to do that. So they knew that Daddy can pray too. I've known a lot of Christian homes where the mother has become the de facto spiritual leader. And even when I've been in home as a guest for a meal, the wife just takes the initiative to pray because the husband will not. So husbands, I encourage you to be the spiritual leader. That goes all the way back to the very first session in the home to make family a priority. You make it a priority to show your children that Christianity is not just for women. It's a manly thing to believe in Christ and to pray. Then we've mentioned this too, but on an annual basis, I may have learned this from John, but we adopted the practice of attending at least one marriage conference or parenting conference once a year during the year, and that helped us refocus on a part of our family and making it a priority. So I commend you for taking this time out this weekend the way you're doing to learn and be re-encouraged. We all need a little regular reignited in our life and priorities, because the world doesn't have these priorities, and it's easy to get lost and slowly drift into the world, and the world's values doesn't value these things. Making family a priority, as I said, if there were discipline issues I needed to take care of, I was actively involved in the discipline area of the children, the schooling of the children. So it was a joint effort. And I think that helped our children maintain at least some level of respect for their daddy. Because in some homes, what I see happening by the time the children are adolescent or teenagers, the reason they think their dad doesn't know anything is because he never took part in sharing many, many times. He wasn't there. Yes, if I want to make home a priority, I've got to be there. I know men who took second jobs on the weekends or had very lavish, expensive hobbies that took a lot of time, whether it's fishing or golfing. Those take a lot of time, and they didn't always include their children as they got older. And so that you have to learn that there's 168 hours in a week. If I'm going to work 40 and sleep 40, no, how many is that? 7 times 7? 50. I've already used up 90 to 100 hours just in work and sleep. And then in eating, see, you have to budget your time. And you take away hours for traveling to work, getting ready to go to work, going to church, this thing, the dating, the wife, the school. And I have 10 hours, let's say I have 10 to 15 hours left. I need to give 5 hours, I want to give time to ministry. 5 hours now, I have a few hours left. So you don't want to schedule every hour because things happen. Someone gets sick or emergencies come up. You want to meet the neighbor across the street and things like that. So that's why making one thing a priority means saying no to other things. Okay, so a godly man that John and I both know, I think it was Gene Warr who told me, he said no to something every day just to stay in practice. Just because he was a busy businessman, family, lots of ministry. And I thought, well, he needs to say no. I need to start practicing to say no to something every day. So we learn to say no with a clear conscience. Mm-hmm. There are people... You know, even the church, they say, well, this is a good thing. You need to do this, join this committee, do this. I say, well, no, at this point in my life, I choose not to be on the deacon board. My children are at this stage of life, they need, as they got into the teen years, I wanted to be involved in their outside activities a little more. So my son got into softball and baseball, basketball, like many kids. Our daughter into choir and different things, volleyball. I wanted to be at those things. So I said, I'm sorry, I'm not at a point in my life where I can do that. Priority means priority. And so we We even developed, Kathy and I, and I'll close with this, what we called a family mission statement. At that time, many companies in the U.S. had mission statements and vision statements, and we had heard of the concept of having a family vision statement, so we developed one and presented it to our children, who were about 5, 6, 7 at the time, I think, and they helped to choose a motto that helped reflect that vision, and we together agreed on a family verse. That verse happens to be Mark 12:29-31. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Okay, if Jesus is going to say this is the most important, I want to know what's the most important. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this, like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I thought, well, if we're going to choose a family verse, why not choose the one Jesus said is the most important? We want to make that a mark of our family and say, so when they became Christians, they weren't at that time, but as they did, they helped to have a perspective, again, a drive priorities. And so they would filter things through, is this loving God? So we could use that in our home. Was doing that to your sister, was that loving her? The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Is that loving? Is that loving your neighbor as yourself? Would you want her to do that to you? No. Okay, well, then he had a way to file that in his mind and heart. What love is. It's not just a feeling. And we could look at something on TV. They said, is that loving God or is that loving a neighbor? Well, yes or no. Positive and negative. We had a way to evaluate almost anything in their lives. So the motto they chose was, we had read some verses about where it says, whatever you do, whether at home or away, be pleasing to the Lord. So they thought, why not make God smile? And I like that. When you do this, you make God smile. That means you're pleasing God. And when you do the wrong things, you're not making God smile. And so we could say that too. If they disobeyed or did something we knew they knew. Was wrong. Did that please God? No, it didn't. Well, you're right. I mean, they knew. It was almost like they knew enough to know what pleased God and what didn't. So that helped. All those things helped make. And I'm not saying you have to do all the things that we did the way we did, but you can adapt it in your culture according to your time and resources. We made family a priority. We wanted to take vacation. So since my parents and my siblings lived 1,000 miles away, we would take a trip to visit my family. So on the way there, we would make that part of their vacation that they could choose something to do, something fun. So we wanted family and home to be something that they enjoyed being there. So we would have a game night. That was another thing to do. And we would help each other support one another. So Amanda, Andrew's got a basketball game. We're all going to go and watch his game. Andrew, Amanda's got this big choir presentation. We're all going to go. And so helped us keep that unified bond, supporting one another. So, God, thank you for family. They're a blessing to us. So I pray we grant us grace and wisdom and diligence to make the a priority. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.